Welcome to Lincoln on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lincoln on Lending, David Lincoln.
Welcome, everybody. It is October 17th. How we have gone through another year so quickly. I want to thank you for tuning in this week. By the way, for those of you who turned in last week and listened to us trying to broadcast from down in the basement of the Hyatt Regency, my apologies. We had one issue after another. We finally just hung it up and said, we'll try this again. But we appreciate you tuning in each and every week. We're working through those difficulties. We're going to have on, but for those of you that listened to the interview that could hear it, got some positive feedback. We had Jay Brinkman on of the MBA, the chief economist. He had some great things to say. And we were commenting about Europe. We're going to be talking more about that later in the program today because we have a special guest back to it and with us, back by popular demand, is Tony Moss, who's the president, founder, CEO of the Strategic Advisory firm and market positioning firm called America Catalyst. Remember, she was on October 3rd, created a little bit of a stir with some of her dire outlook on the economy, what things are going on out there. But the reason I value Tony being on a program two weeks ago and again now is because of the critical thinking that she's so famous for in Europe and now here in America. She has an event coming up here in Austin, Texas. America Catalyst event. We're going to talk about that a little bit later in the program. Want to go there now, but Joe Farr usually brings us the mortgage rate update, but Joe is at a very, very important meeting right now. He's out on the golf course, folks. He's golfing at the TMBA. We know we have a lot of people from his organization, some family that are dialed into the day's broadcast specifically to listen to our guest. So we wish Joe well. May he be par on par. Single putt everything and just be going under what my normal score is, which is double bogey. If I have anything other than double bogey, I'm doing well. So, Joe, we wish you well out there in the markets. We appreciate you giving us an update. Here's an update of what's going on today. First of all, you look at the Dow, it's kind of heading off just a bit as we where was it? Where's it at right now? It's down 198, and when Joe wrote this, it was down 160. So stocks are heading lower. The New York Empire State Index came in much lower than expected, a minus 8.5, when it was expected to come in at a minus 4.0. So that might be contributing some to it. The industrial production met expectations at 0.2%. Meager as it is, at least it met meager expectations at 0.2%. The MBS had seen a very nice rally last week, and so there was a little it got a little overbought, and I think we may be seeing some correction. Interesting comment. Again, Tony's going to get into this later. Chancellor Merkel warned that all European debt issues are not resolved. Geithner's over there trying to stir things up. We're trying to get a resolution before the 23rd. It'll be interesting to see where that goes. Again, stocks are plunging lower. Let's talk about last week. We were at the MBA Mortgage Bankers Association Conference in Chicago. We enjoyed many good meetings. A lot of we, in fact, had some protesters there. You look at the Wall Street, the protesters, we had them walking around our building, some interesting signs, interestingly dressed people, too, I might say that. But anyway, last week, we had the MBS prices did not fall quite as much. They were down about a half a point as compared to down a point and a quarter the week before. We've seen fairly substantial rise in rates in the last 2 weeks, about 30 to 35 basis points. And what we can look at is the economic data is better than expected. Now, obviously, contributing to the little bit higher rates. So the concerns about the European debt issues were diminished last week. That is until Chancellor Merkel came out and made his comments today. Last week, retail sales number for September was stronger than expected. It was up 1.1 when 0.6 was expected. Again, meager, but at least there was a positive indication there. So again, look to anything that contributes to the rates being as low as they are. We get any positive news, it bounces rates up pretty quickly. That's why you need MBS quote line. Just my little ad in there for Joe and his group. The Treasury auctions results last week were mixed. The 3-year and the 30-year were strong, and the 10-year, interestingly enough, is weak. The minutes from the Fed meeting revealed no great surprises, so last week was pretty much a bit off, but and followed by another week that was off. This week, what we have coming up is PPI is tomorrow, Tuesday, at 8:30 in the morning. We have CPI on at 8:30 on Wednesday. Housing starts are on Wednesday, and existing home sales on Thursday. So it'll be real interesting to look at those two numbers. Those will be, are they going to be going up? I'd like to think that we have some improvement, but a little doubtful on that. The Philly Fed is also on Thursday. So that's what's the run-up on this week. Let's take a little look again. Dow is off at 201 as I'm looking at it right now. And I'm looking at mortgage backs, and we're ticking up just a little bit. I mean, it's up 12, 13 or so. 30 seconds. So that's the update. Joe, we need you back here. I'm doing as best I can, Joe, without you, but it's just nothing like you bringing us the update. Folks, stay tuned. We'll be right back after this brief word.
Looking for that competitive edge? MBS Quoteland delivers live market coverage for originators. Get up-to-the-minute mortgage market news and analysis as events occur.
Get MBS prices as trades happen.
Straight to your computer, email, cell phone, or PDA. Know in advance when your investors will reprice. Make better lock-float decisions and increase your income. Be the expert your clients expect. And know what's moving interest rates right now, tomorrow, and beyond. MBS Quoteline, delivering live market coverage for originators. Learn more about MBS Quoteline today at MBSQuoteLine.com.
MBSQuoteLine.com.
646-716-4972. The Lincoln on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lincoln.
And not only are we back, but we're on with the darling of the our radio program each and every week, a dear friend and someone I've come to respect who watches the legislative update on everything that's going on, Alice Alvey. Alice, it was so good to see you and your business partner, Jan Wetzel, in Chicago this last week and spend some time with you. Of course, Brian and the rest of you. But while we were away, the mice were playing. It looks like there's just a little bit of legislative activity starting off here. What is going on?
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, all we did was go away for a week, and now we have, over the last, you know, couple weeks here in March, we've had several pieces of legislation get introduced. You know, that doesn't mean a whole heck of a lot, just the fact that it's been introduced, but it means that we're going to tell you which ones are on our radar. Really, right now, without reading you the whole list, I have about 34 of them, and that just consolidates
34?
The renewal. Yeah, but I have just a heading for we need to renew the U.S. Patriot Act, and there must be five of them out there for that. And, you know, and then there are also multiple bills out there proposing to make various changes to the Dodd-Frank Act. You know, we're going to see if any of that's going to get steam in the coming months. Of course, we've got an election year coming up next year. A lot of people frustrated, you know, with the way things are going in Washington. And so
Really?
Think there are some fright. Hey, you know, this is just an update. This is not I'm not going to get into all that. Yeah, we'll get into that with Tony's segment. But, you know, at least for right now, in terms of what we're tracking, we're definitely going to try and keep an eye on, is there any potential change to the makeup of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, and whether or not it really does get legs to have a board versus an individual. You know, ultimately, I think either way, we're going to have a group of people who set additional regulations on us. And so for those of us who have to deal with this every day, I'm not so sure that that decision makes a big difference to us right now. But ultimately, with Dodd-Frank, we're watching several components to see if there are any changes. But the two big ones, the risk retention and the qualified mortgage, we haven't seen anything publicly move over the last week. Certainly there was a lot of talk about it at the conference, but nothing new, you know, nothing that we haven't heard already. We're still trying to negotiate. We're still trying to, you know, soften the blow a little bit and see certainly if we can get the consumer groups solidly behind us on whatever the proposal ends up being for defining what is a QM, what defines a consumer's ability to repay. It does seem like there's a little more hope that we won't don't end up with an 80% loan to value, that it will be a higher LTV with PMI. But, you know, we're still waiting to see on that. So back to the bills, like Dave mentioned, I have, you know, several that I want to just bring to your attention, at least today. There is House Bill 2986, Neighborhood Preservation, that's looking to expand the officer next door and teacher next door parts of the FHA program to include firefighters and rescue personnel. And I think, you know, in the past this has been talked about, but that's a hidden program. I wanted to take the opportunity to make sure, hey, you haven't forgotten about that program, and B, you know, this wouldn't be a bad thing to get through. Let's make it easy, make more people eligible for financing. There is House Bill 3164, which is the Short Sale Transparency Act of 2011. It would require Fannie and Freddie to disclose the minimum purchase price that the enterprise will accept on the short sale of a residence financed by a mortgage purchased by each enterprise in order to make short sale a viable alternative to foreclosure. So they're looking for, get this out sooner. Short sales are taking way too long to process, and you know there's a lot of back and forth on pricing there. And there's two sides to that too. We've also had lenders have big problems with, you know, Fannie and Freddie way undercutting short sale prices. So in any case, HR 3164 is that one. The families Foreclosure Rescue Corporation. There's a bill to consider starting up a corporation to provide emergency relief to refinance home mortgages. Not sure that's going to get any legs. That's House Bill 3129. Of course, we're watching loan limits to see if there would be any changes for that. And then the FDIC, I thought this one was interesting. House Bill 3077, FDIC Act. It would amend the FDIC Act to ensure that consumers have the right to immediately close any account at any insured depository on demand without cost, and that they get the money immediately. So is somebody afraid of something going on with the bank? I'm not sure what they're looking for now.
Maybe it has something to do with B of A's fees. You can exit without getting anyway, that's
yeah, somebody's looking for, hey, is there going to be a run on the banks? Do we need to make sure everybody can access the money in the event that there is?
That's interesting.
Yeah, so we'll see. You know, there's a lot of the stuff that just comes up and then turns around and quickly goes away. So there is also, from the rules standpoint, the only rule that's major that's open up for comment is the Federal Reserve Board opened up for comment implementation of the Volcker Rule. There's been a lot of talk about this in the past. So this opened up October 11th. Comments can be posted all the way through January 13th. And it would be going out there and posting your thoughts about, should a bank be able to engage in short-term proprietary trading, as an example? Should they be able to own or have relationships with a hedge fund or private equity fund? I think for consumers, just their high-level understanding of that, they would be, no, let's get the Volcker Rule back in place. So take a look at the verbiage in that and get your thoughts out there and get your comments in. On a case, a Supreme Court case that is interesting, the Supreme Court has granted a petition to be able to look at the components of the Freeman versus Quicken Loans case. In this one, regarding RESPA, you know, traditionally the courts have been split on, in RESPA, was it a violation of RESPA? If you have an unearned fee, and the fee wasn't split, you know, if you read RESPA literally, it talks about that you had to split a fee, you know, like the title company took part and I took part, or the appraiser, I upcharged the appraisal fee, or I upcharged the title costs where I shouldn't have, and I took an overage, and that was considered the violation of RESPA, not just the word unearned. So it'll be interesting to have the Supreme Court hear this case, and since there has been such a split in the courts over the years, to maybe settle this battle once and for all on whether an unearned, unsplit fee violates Section B of RESPA, yeah, the kickback provision, you know.
Yep.
So what do you mean you can't pay referral fees in the mortgage business? I have new people all the time going, that's not fair. So, okay, well, it's illegal. All right, last but not least, the VA funding fee story. For those of you who do VA loans, they did come out with their announcement that clarified the funding fee flip-flop. Is the only name for it that I think we had, the funding
the
fee flip-flop.
Yeah, yeah.
So we went through a reduction in the funding fees from October 1st to October 5th. Bills didn't get signed in time, and they flipped back up higher. So right now, closing a VA loan is a bad thing for a vet. You need to wait until after November 17th. On November 18th, it goes back down. The funding fees go back down to 1.4% instead of 2.15 for a 30-year fixed rate on a full-time military. 75 basis points, you know, is a lot of money today. So we want to save the vets that money.
Yep.
So in any case, that is my legislative update. That's as short as I could keep it today, Dave. There's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on. We thought we were done. I think probably the most discouraging about that is there's still legislation, even though it's just being introduced, doesn't mean it'll be enacted, but there's just such a continuation of this. So it doesn't sound like any relief in sight.
No.
That's unfortunate. Well, anyway, good to have you bring the news, even though the news may not always be pleasant. Who brings it to us? Don't shoot the messenger, right? No, that's right. We don't do that. We value the messenger. Thank you so much, Alice. Folks, we'll be right back after this brief break.
Looking for a full-service mortgage training and consulting company to fit exactly what you need? Mortgage U is your ultimate education and information resource used by lenders to execute high-impact, high-quality trainings throughout the organization. Mortgage U instructors are mortgage professionals,
providing classroom and web-based delivery,
and has the most sought-after training manuals in the country. Mortgage U has a proven track record, performing customized training programs for hundreds and even thousands of employees, both live and online, on everything from application through loan delivery and insuring. Call Mortgage U today at 800-278-0200 or visit us online at mortgage-u.com. Welcome back to Lincoln on Lending. Our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's David Lincoln.
Good to have you back with us, as you are each and every week, and we thank you so much for telling others about it. By the way, I'm logged into MBS Quote Line. Nice little rally going there. And So 1430 seconds, so nice little rally. But what are you going to do with the money when it drops to the bottom line? Does it all drop to the bottom line? Well, here to fix what's ailing the bottom line is Dr. Shell, also known as Andy Shell, but our beloved Prophet Doctor.
Hey,
Andy, what
Dave.
Do you have for us this week?
Well, Dave, today we're going to talk about focus and planning, or another way to look at that is getting from here to there. You know, we always want to know, we have an idea where we're going to go and want to be able to get there. And so that's what focus and planning really is all about.
A roadmap.
A roadmap. You know, on every broadcast, we talk about what to do, but we don't often talk about how to do it. So I'm circling back on that because we need to discuss how to get it done, how to implement change, how to manage change, how to implement change management, and how to deal with the dynamics of rapid change in an organization. So we'll talk more about all of this over the next couple of weeks, but I wanted to start with just a few of the basics. And we've talked about this before, but I want to make sure everybody's clear on this. Here's an important saying. Failing to plan is a plan to fail. So it said, failing to plan is a plan to fail. Or if you don't plan, you will fail. Well, that sounds kind of harsh, but unfortunately, it's true. It's an important reality of life that if you don't plan, you just kind of wing it, you're most likely going to fail, and we've got statistics to back that up. As part of our consulting business, we help companies improve their bottom line by implementing all kinds of principles, including many basic principles, which are focus and plan. So I want to talk a little bit more about those as we get into this. Now, excuse me, according to the Small Business Administration, 95% of small businesses fail in the first 5 years for two primary reasons. The first reason small businesses fail is a lack of focus and effort. The second reason is a lack of planning and structure. So, you know, in our business, we sometimes take these concepts for granted, but they are essential for financial success in any business, irrespective of what industry you're in. So we should make sure we are clear about how they are implemented. So that's the Prophet Doctor for today. We're going to talk about these two concepts, focus. Also including effort is not just working harder, but it's working harder on specific results. It's working hard to achieve a specific task. It's not just spending more time. It's spending time doing the right things that advance the goal. You know, one of the things that, I know, Dave, you've heard me say over and over and over and over and over, but it's from the movie Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, where Yoda is talking to Luke as Luke is trying to use the Force to lift his spaceship from the pond. And Yoda goes, "You do or you do not. You do not try." And this is a great line that describes the path to success in business.
So good.
It's not about trying. It's about achieving. Because people don't like hearing this, but the truth is success is not random. It is a choice and a choice to succeed. It is a choice, and the choice is to succeed, not to try. We're not gonna try to move forward. We are going to move forward. The choice is to succeed. We choose to do what has to be done to succeed, irrespective of the obstacles, irrespective of the amount of time it takes to generate sales and produce our product in a profitable fashion. So we choose to do what has to be done, even if it means telling a staff member that their work performance needs improvement in a specific area. And for business owners, this could mean working nights, weekends, for months, or even years until the business objectives are accomplished. I know Tony's built her business, you and I and Alice have all built our businesses, and this is just a reality of life. It's not easy, it's hard, it takes a lot of work, but the end of the result is success. So the debate on how much time is enough and the debate on how much time how much time away from work and how it affects your family is certainly something to consider. But I can tell you that successful business owners work a lot of hours. And for some, you know, it might be best to grow your business before you have kids or after your kids have left the house, because it will be a very significant commitment, and that's what it
is. Very all-consuming.
Yep.
Very all-consuming.
A couple of other things it's good to do is follow the examples of those who have been successful, and there's a couple of books out that are very helpful in doing this. One is Good to Great, and the other is Built to Last, and I know there's now a third one that's come out too. So it's really good to look at some examples of success. Now, what I was talking about is mainly about focus and effort, and it's going to take a lot of effort, a lot of focus to achieve success. It can't be done 40 hours a week. Anybody tells you they built a business working 40 hours a week is lying. So the other part of that is, though, knowing what to do while you're working. Planning is the roadmap to success. As we look at our daily activities, as our daily activities unfold, it's important to have a plan for the day, knowing specifically what task we are going to accomplish today. In our business, we have activity plans for today, for tomorrow, for the rest of the week, for next week. We know what's going to be done when. And you have to do that in a business. Excuse me. Often we see business owners becoming the tail, the tail gets wagged by the dog. You know, don't be the tail. Don't be the tail getting wagged by the dog. You got to be the dog. You got to control the activities of your day. And don't let the pressure of the day redirect your activities. You've got to stay focused on doing the things that advances your business and achieves profitability. And here's an example of where the pressure of the day can kill you, actually. In the first episode of The Godfather, everybody remembers The Godfather and Sonny, played by James Caan, one of the sons, the oldest son, he hears that his sister has been abused or whatnot, and he heads out to go avenge his sister. And he leaves quickly. He doesn't follow the plan. He gets stuck in a toll booth and gets killed. He reacted without thinking, and he let himself get into a dangerous situation without his bodyguards, and he was killed. He did not follow the plan, and he died because of it. You've got to have a plan. The key to any business is to have a plan and stick to the plan. And planning includes knowing a lot about what you're trying to accomplish. It's the who, what, when, where, why, and how for every product or every activity. You know, just like writing a research paper, every business must know who's their target customer, what are the key elements of the product, when is the best time to deliver the product, where can the customer be located, why would they buy from you, and how can it be delivered and priced. Now, also in looking at businesses, there's always a business plan that includes what we call a SWOT analysis, and SWOT, S-W-O-T, stands for evaluating really honestly and objectively the strengths, the weaknesses, opportunities, and the threats to your business. SWOT, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. Important to look at that along with planning. As I start to wrap up this session of The Profit Doctor, we're going to talk a little bit about pricing, planning for pricing. Pricing and understanding financial dynamics. Your pricing includes knowing the specific details of all costs and the profit margin needed to achieve the desired profitability. So effective pricing is not just matching the competition. You can't just match price. You have to know the effect of price matching on your business, and there's more to getting sales than just matching your price. If all you do is always match price, you're probably going to fail, because it's more than just price. It needs to be a value proposition to the folks who are buying. Every company should have a financial forecast that predicts profitability based on volume and cost and profit margin. A 24-month financial plan is essential for every business, and it should include a cash flow forecast, and we help companies create those. So as I start to wrap up, in memory of Steve Jobs, here are two principles he lived by. say no to 1,000 things. Jobs was very proud of Apple, and he was as proud of what Apple chose not to do as he was of what Apple did do. So when he took over the company again in 97, the company had 350 products, and he reduced it down to 10 over a two-year period so that he could have his best team focusing on the delivery of those products, including what became the iPod and the iPad, and also create insanely different experiences. Jobs also sought innovation in the customer service experience. When he first came up with the concept for the Apple stores, he said that it would be a different because instead of just moving computer boxes, the store would enrich lives. Everything about the experience you have when you walk into an Apple store is intended to enrich your life and to create an emotional connection between you and the Apple brand. It's a great strategy. It's an amazing strategy. It's an incredibly successful strategy, and things that we need to do in our business to connect to customers in a real and meaningful way. It's not just about price. So launching a business, and in the case with Apple, it's not about price. Apple is actually more expensive than the competitor in many cases. Launching a business or implementing a change in a business, you know, like moving a branch from one company to another, takes a lot of effort for an extended period of time, relying upon a well-planned and implemented plan to achieve financial success. So I'm rushing here because I'm hitting my time limit. Financial success is created by focus and planning. My point is, and this is really important, the point is success is not random. Success is a choice to implement the focus and planning to succeed. We don't choose to fail, but if we don't plan, we will fail. And choosing to succeed is not random. It takes determination, effort, focus, and planning. If you don't have a plan and you're working really hard, you're probably just going to fail. So stop working so hard and enjoy watching TV. Instead, get a good plan and implement the plan very diligently. Failing to plan is a plan to fail, so get a good plan and get it created and implemented carefully. And that's the Profit Doctor for today, Dave.
Good. Thank you, Andy. Saying no 1,000 times to get to their vision, stay on course. That's actually, and no question, the Apple Store is one of my favorite places. My wife and kids go run shopping elsewhere. I'm stuck in the Apple Store. It's an experience, and I love it. I do. It always costs me some money, too. But anyway, thank you so much, Profit Doctor, for bringing us an update on how to plan, how to succeed, and not fail. Success is not random. Good point. Thank you so much. Folks, we'll be right back with Tony Moss after this brief break.
Mortgage Banking Solutions is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry.
If you're looking for help converting from best efforts to hedging, or need help with bookkeeping to know your profit per loan,
if you are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, or if you just need a roadmap for success, Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level and guide them down a path towards success and profitability. With over 300 combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals. New warehouse lines of credit,
broker to banker transitions, transitioning to hedging, financial and accounting services, or meeting your capitalization needs.
If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business, please contact a Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512-977-9900. Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm looking into the panel here, and we have folks literally from all over the U.S. dialed in and listening to the program. We appreciate you so much. In fact, we even have a couple. We have folks from Canada dialed in. So welcome to everybody on this program. And a special welcome goes out to our next guest, Tony Moss. She's the founder and CEO of a strategic advisory and market positioning firm called AmeriCatalyst, also known as EuroCatalyst in Europe. It's based here in Austin, Texas. And the EuroCatalyst is based in Amsterdam, there in the Netherlands. Tony is one of the few individuals with operational experience in more than 27 national mortgage markets. She is well known across Western Europe. I got to find this out firsthand when she had invited me to speak at and be a part of the EuroCatalyst event a number of years ago, I think 3-4 years ago, in Madrid, probably one of the most impressive things. And there is, while I was there, I acquainted myself with Tony and some of the people that participate in her event. What is so exciting, folks, about today? What have we got going on? We've got protesters, Wall Street protesters down there in Wall Street. We've got, you know, you saw a breakout across the country, a lot of discontent, a lot of frustration, as Alice was saying, across the country. So where is this going? We had Tony on the program October 3rd. I don't think we've gotten as much feedback on a program as we ever had. And you go, oh, my God. The general feedback we got was it's very encouraged. Someone's finally telling it like it is. We got problems in River City. We got problems across the country. We got problems in the world. Tony is the one who's probably most acquainted with that. And she has an event coming together the 8th of October. We'll get those dates nailed down here in just a minute. I'll get those in front of us. But the Mayor Catalyst event is bringing together the most critical minds in the world, bringing them into one place for 2 days to have a dialogue about what's going on, what can be done, what should your strategy be. So I could just go on and on, but one of the things I count my life blessed about is to be in friendship, fellowship, and in dialogue with one of the critical thinkers of our time, Tony Moss. Tony, welcome to the program. Good to have you here with us.
Thank you. By the way, the event is November 6th through the 8th.
6th through the 8th. I had one date right there. I was going to 6th through the 8th. And if let's get this of November. Yes. I don't know what I said. I apologize. I didn't have that in my notes. We're glad we got that clarified right out of the top. Tony, we had you on the program on October 3rd, and we were talking about some of the dire, you know, outlook that's out there in America. I mean, across America, it's across Europe, across many parts of it. Jay Brinkman was on the program last week. He said it's all about Europe. What we're going to experience here is going to be a lot about Europe. Let's talk about I want our listeners, I mean, we could go on and on. This is a dialogue, as you well know, could go on for decades. I want to talk about specifically about your event and the critical thinking that's there. I want our listeners to understand how you bring together, while you have certain thoughts and where you think things are going, how you bring together the people that you do for this event. And the outline. So if we could get into that, with knowing that our listeners, many of our listeners, listen to your broadcast on October 3rd, knowing that you have that represents a deep concern for you, some of the dire outlook. Tell me about some of the people that are there with contrasting views, and what if someone's going to be there, what are they going to hear at your event?
Whew, that's a broad question. I'll tell you who's coming. I don't know if any of you are familiar with Todd Groom, who's the chairman of the Alternative Investment Management Association, which is ultimately the global lobby group for hedge funds, so the shadow banking system. And he was formerly head of financial stability at the IMF. Todd happens to be a partner of mine.
I'll just score that one. Can we highlight that one? Former?
Yeah. Yeah.
Would you repeat that? I want our listeners to hear that.
Well, one of the very deliberate things about the event is that we say the solution is in the debate. So every session is a debate, and we try and balance the panels very well with opposing positions, which is why we have a host and co-host, and the host and co-host usually have different perspectives. But my greatest dialogue and debate is with my own business partner, Todd Groom, because he's always been much more optimistic than I've been, and the only frightening thing to me is that he's coming around to the pessimistic side. We also have Kyle Bass, who is renowned for being one of the top two investors who shorted the subprime market, made a fortune, and now he's shorting sovereign nations, and in particular Japan, because he believes in the inevitability of sovereign default. And we've been discussing this now for the last 3 years at the event. I think Kyle's going to come and do a victory lap this year. And in general, we have all the top people, research analysts, Ivy Zelman, who's phenomenal, Lori Goodman from Amherst Securities. We have Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac there, Dave Stevens of the MBA. It's a very
Ted
long
Tozier.
List of 60 speakers.
Yeah, Ted Tozier of Jenny May will be there, I believe.
Yes. How could I forget Ted Tozier? Lori Maggiano and Darius Kingsley from Treasury, Amy Brandt from Bantam Capital, John Britty from Auckland. We have a tremendous amount of servicers participating this year, not only because I tend to be much more inclined toward servicing myself, but also there's a new residential special servicer coalition, which is providing special servicers with a seat in Washington to talk about how they're good at economic remediation, but they're not getting the portfolios that they need. And as a result of that, we're having the first meeting at the event this year, so there are quite a number of servicers coming. And I forgot to mention Tony Miola,
who's running
the legacy servicing at Bank of America, who rarely comes out in public.
Yeah. That's going to be – and I think one of the things I want to stress, this is not a servicing event. And so you hear we have a lot of people from servicing because servicing is such a huge part of what our industry is about. But this is not a servicing event. This is a critical – I call it a think tank. Is that a proper characterization of the event?
Yes, it was absolutely set up to be a dynamic think tank in the sense that it moved to a different country every year. It only stayed in Austin, Texas, frankly, because I moved here and I was tired of doing an event in a different location every year. We had to reinvent the wheel. But it is a think tank of sorts, and it's very experiential. And we have sort of a three-way dialogue where the audience is part of the dialogue in that they have an interactivity system on their table, their seated cabaret style, and they can communicate anonymously with the stage. So when we're sitting up on the stage, we're looking at three different screens. One's the closed circuit video, the other is a PowerPoint if it happens to be up on the screen, and then the third is a monitor where we can see what people are saying. And the funny thing is they ask questions and they make comments, but over the years, all the tables start responding to each other's comments. So
yes.
It's this whole other dialogue going on.
It is to say it's a dynamic environment is an understatement. You have what's going on stage, very critical thought, very good opposing opinions and positions, as well as then the comments that are coming out of the audience. It is one of those events that is just so delightful. Andy Shelley, Prophet Doctor, you've been at one of these events. What was your impression when you walked away from it?
Well, you can leave your iPhone at home because you're going to be texting right there live on the table with a keyboard on each table, so you can type in and see what's going on. And it's very, very engaging, and the time flies by. You know, I would describe the session as like the graduate school of seminars, the business school of events like this, because people like us who speak at the MBA events are the people that attend this event. And Tony's bringing in leaders from around the country and the world to speak here. It's really unmatched. I've never seen anything like it before, and I'm looking forward to seeing it again. It's really a lot of fun. It stretches your brain and then some.
Yeah, that's
how do you like the music, Andy?
It's great.
And that's the part of it. I mean, the thought that goes into the music for introducing each session is it is as much challenging, and it just sets each session up. And it's hilarious. Can you give us a little insight to some of the music that's going to be preceding each one of the sessions?
Well, on the second day, there's a three-part session. The first one is Ain't No Mountain High Enough, which is establishing national servicing standards, so it's obvious what song we're going to play. Then No Valley Low Enough, which is servicer compensation, and then No River Wide Enough, which is drowning in litigation. So for No Valley Low Enough, I'm trying to figure out if we should play You Never Give Me Your Money by the Beatles or Penny Lane. And then Drowning in Litigation is probably going to be Jailhouse Rock. Kyle Bass is Come Undone. And perhaps the funniest one on the Champagne Debate at the end of the first day, it's Home Ownership versus Rental Housing Policy and Strategies for REO Disposition. And I'm making a very strong editorial comment about the fact that we don't have a national rental policy because we're playing YMCA. that's very snarky and sarcastic.
Well, Alice covers the legislative update each and every week on our program. Alice, hopefully you can make it to this event, but what – Tony, some of your thoughts about the onslaught of legislation. I'd love to have Alice get in on some of that. Is this a trend we as Alice reported, we just saw a whole bunch more new legislation coming forward. Is this a trend we should just anticipate for an indefinite future?
Well, I touched on that last week, and I was talking about the fact that globalization threatens sovereign state because there are certain boundaries on the state and money can move anywhere. You have that, but at the same time, you have competition between regulatory agencies, and we actually have a session that discusses that. But the context in which we're discussing it, and which is important because an idea really doesn't have any power without a context behind it, the session is actually called Who's Got the Power Navigating the Regulatory Landscape? And we're going to talk about the fact, my personal opinion is that regulation will just increase and certainly not decrease. So everybody's feeling threatened and having turf battles. And you see that quite frequently. But I wanted to say really quickly that Ed DeMarco of the FHFA is perhaps one of the greatest civil servants who's ever worked in government. And we're very fortunate to have him at the FHFA. And Raj Date from the CFPB is a phenomenal thinker. And so I have great hopes for CFPB, unlike a lot of people in this industry.
Well, that's really encouraging.
Go ahead, Alice.
I was going to say, that's really encouraging, you know, because we don't, and most of us don't ever get to really know the individuals, and you feel like this is a lot of power and responsibility in these positions, so I'm very glad to hear that. So do you think, knowing these folks, you know, if you had to help us a little bit with where is QM and QRM, where are QM and QRM going to go? Are they? Do we have a prayer of making those palatable?
Is that a pregnant pause?
I think that QRM, to a certain extent, is a red herring because it is intended to bring investors back into the market. A lot of investors who thought that they were buying interest rate risk were, in fact, buying credit risk, and that's intended to reduce that. But the real issue is that investors are not going to come back into the market until these servicing issues are worked through. And at the same time, if you can't foreclose on the collateral, why would an investor put their money into this industry? I mean, it's 611 days to foreclosure.
Right.
So, you know, there are a host of other issues regarding foreclosure, like neighborhood stability. It's a very, it's a real conundrum. But at the same time, that's what it's going to take to bring investors back.
It is, and we need them back. We really need them back. I want to say, I want to circle back to something you said. I've known about the potential, I've heard the good reports about Ed DeMarco. But while I was at the conference, I got to have the dinner with one of the senior officials, and I'm not going to mention her name because I don't want to compromise anything, any aspect of it. Because what was so encouraging about that dinner was who I heard a passion. Not only did I hear one of the people very, very close to Ed DeMarco was also one of the attorneys involved in policy setting. I was so encouraged, Tony, to hear the heart, what they want. And the way they talked about Ed, it is it sounded like the George – I don't want to over-dramatize this, but it sounded like the George Washington leadership kind of style that we need and who really has that civil servant – what's best in mind for the country rather than all these other agendas that are going on out there. So I sure hope we can have some representation from the FHFA be there. And so it's very critical. Folks, we'll take a brief break. We'll be right back with Tony Moss of the Eurocatalyst, Mericatalyst. Be right back after this brief break.
In today's climate, quality counts more than ever, and Wechselschrott can help your company maintain the quality that you require to survive in an ever-changing market. With over 450 customers across the country, Wechselschrott has specialized in quality control reviews for residential lenders since 1985. Wechselschrott can assist your organization in maintaining a high standard of quality within your residential mortgage operation. They offer a wide variety of services, including loan quality control, servicing quality control, quality control plans, fraud review services, and even web-based quality control software. Quality is never an accident. It is always the result of high intention, sincere effort, intelligent direction, and skillful execution. Choosing Wechselschrott represents the wise choice of many alternatives. Contact Wetzel Trott today for details at 248-592-2252. Wetzel Trott, the single source solution for your quality control needs. And now, broadcasting live from Austin, Texas, we're back with the Lincoln on Lending Show.
Well, I'm not quite sure. Dave, are you with us? Well, this is Alice, and I think we'll wait for Dave to get back on the line here. Dave, do we have you back yet?
Alice, do you want me to jump in here?
Yeah, go ahead, Tony. I'm glad you're there. I was just going to go ahead and ask for you. I know we've got so many questions about, you know, where, what does the future hold? We talked about it a little bit on the last show, so I'd like to get your thoughts again on that because there just really wasn't enough time on the last show. We want to hear more.
Well, I understand on the last show that apparently I scared quite a number of people when I was talking about the real impact of globalization. In my opinion, the inevitability of sovereign default, particularly starting with Greece and that triggering a chain reaction among other weaker European countries like Portugal, Ireland, Italy, and Spain, and perhaps triggering Japan. And what people don't really realize is the interconnectedness and exposure that we all have, both central banks who own the treasuries of other countries, as well as our own banks who own a lot of the stocks and bonds issued by these countries. And anyway, so I have a very pessimistic view. I feel that monetary policy has failed and that we are actually in a collapse right now. We don't see it for what it is because structural policy is delaying the inevitable. But that said, I really wanted to point out this week that there are other people more famous and more knowledgeable than I am, certainly, who have quite a bit of optimism. Martin Wolf from the Financial Times, Carmen Reinhart and Kenneth Rogoff, who wrote the really seminal book, This Time is Different. Mark Zandi from Moody's believes that the market's going to come roaring back in 2013, and Martin Wolf, Reinhart, and Rogoff think 2014. So I just wanted to point out that there are some optimists out there. I just tend not to be one of them because I really don't see any secular trends that are going to take us back to where we were in terms of growth, employment, savings, access to credit. So
what does that mean for the for the average person? You know, if we say okay that you know I'm not one who thinks it can be that positive. I live in Michigan,
yeah.
So we're on the ground floor over here. So you know, what does that mean then to the average person?
Well, I think one of the most important things to know is that the greatest change today is the pace of change. So when you were talking about all this new regulation, it will accelerate. And globalization and living in a globalized world accelerates and magnifies these issues. So, for example, a black swan event, which was very catastrophic or is a catastrophic event, used to happen every 100 years. It's now happening every 50, 30,
wow.
10 years now. And that's what everyone needs to keep in mind. So you need to change your strategy and change it frequently. Did that answer the question?
Yeah, I think so. And I think I hear Dave on the line, too.
I'm back. What's amazing is my one phone seems to be working fine, so I'm going to double-check that. But I got the
you
Echo
out
thing
buying
going,
gold,
which is why
I just
both
know
lines
it.
Are back and working, so I apologize for that. So I have resolved this. I'm going to let you continue on, Tony. I'd like to have you go through specifically the agenda for the 2 days we're together.
Okay. The opening session, we're going to talk about convergence, which is the latest stage, in my opinion, of globalization, where we have essentially complete interconnectedness, complete integration, where we've seen this in monetary policy. You can't make a move without creating unintended consequences elsewhere. And to me, that's a stage of globalization that we've reached. I named the session Fait Accompli, and the second part is Fait Accompli, meaning have we sort of reached the end of globalization and we're going into a whole new stage that's sort of post-globalization. And we're going to talk about capital flows and where they're going around the world and how that impacts the funding of the U.S. market, which has traditionally, well, over the last 20 years, been more than 50% foreign funded.
Wow.
Now a lot of those funds are going elsewhere to other types of investments. Or, as we saw over the last 7 weeks, there's been a $76.5 billion sell-off in U.S. treasuries as central banks around the world are selling these treasuries, and it's the largest amount since August 2007, and they're doing that to support their own currencies.
So
you see all these countries bolstering for the storm.
Yeah, so what you're saying there is it's not necessarily they've lost confidence in America, but if they're bolstering. Can you clarify that? Because I don't want people reading into that what's there. So if you could dwell on that. You certainly understand the European markets. Give us a little more insight.
Well, I talked about interconnectedness and exposure,
yeah,
where the central banks and financial institutions have exposure to what's happening in Europe. And so I see this as a sign. I mean, part of my job,
okay,
and I think part of what makes me unique is to recognize some of these trends and signs in the market, where everybody is sort of covering home base right now because of their exposure. So they're pulling back and making investments in their own countries and their own currencies. It does not mean a loss of faith in the United States, and you're right to point that out.
Yeah, I think that's the most important thing I want to make sure people understand that is, oh, my God, does that mean the sky's falling here in the country? No, it's to bolster their own currency. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Good distinction.
Okay, and moving along through the program, and I'll try and do this really quickly, it tells you a story from beginning to end about what's happening this year. We move from convergence to come undone, which is Kyle Bass coming back for the third year to talk about sovereign default and how he's hedging against it, which is incredible that the guy's revealing his actual strategy.
Wow.
And that session tends to shake everybody up quite a bit, but at the same time, it excites them because they feel like they're hearing the truth from someone who really knows and who's been there. So we go from convergence to come undone to entropy, the state of the U.S. housing market, and we'll talk about all the figures that are happening in the market and why we're essentially going nowhere. We're just set adrift. And given what's happening in the world, what's happening in the U.S. housing market, the logical question to ask is, who's got the power? Who's calling the shots? And that's just navigating the regulatory landscape, which then takes us into four aces and a wild card. This is the top four people who have suggested plans to fix the market, and the wild card being, will the government take a look and accept them? And then we have our debate at the end of the day, which is home ownership versus rental housing policy and the fate of the REO inventory. The following day, we start off with a session called Twist and Shout in a Bipolar Market. This is about credit performance and projections for origination and MBS. The bipolarity that I refer to is the terrible performance of agency MBS and the non-agency MBS is the poor performance, and the fantastic performance of agency MBS. And then we go into servicing issues. So we have a keynote by Tony Miola, who runs legacy servicing at Bank of America. Very rare to have anyone from Bank of America speak at a conference. And so we're very fortunate that they made an exception for us. And then we go into establishing national servicing standards. And if we're going to set the bar really high, then we have servicer compensation. Are servicers adequately compensated to meet these new standards? The answer is no, heck no. And then we end with no river wide enough, drowning in litigation and the impact on banks and the mortgage industry. The reason that I'm ending with drowning in litigation is because as we have this REO inventory, the shadow REO inventory, we have 12 million foreclosures anticipated over the next couple of years. It's going to take a while for that to work itself out of the system, and I'm making the point that it's also going to take a while to work ourselves out of the litigation sphere. So there will be a lot more litigation to come. And there's the program this year.
Well, I'm not sure if we lost Dave again because we were having some other sound difficulties. But, Tony, that just sounds absolutely amazing. And I love the combination of the front end of housing and the focus on servicing, because I agree with you that that is the component that has to get solved first, you know, it's to bring investors back into the market. So, you know, in the home ownership arena right now, in terms of the drowning in the litigation, I hadn't really thought about that before, the idea that it's always so many years afterwards that, you know, the attorneys jump on board. That's a new problem, I guess, to add to the list of things I hadn't really thought about before.
Well, we're gonna talk about it should be drowning in investigations and litigation, because
Right. Not
only are we going to cover the litigation, like the attorney's general lawsuit and the fate of that, which seems to be crumbling, but we're going to talk about the FHFA lawsuit against the big banks. We're going to talk about the OCC consent letters and a few of the more notable suits against the Wall Street firms on the issuance of securities. And what's really crucial about this particular session is we've got Adam Levitin, professor at Georgetown University, who's absolutely brilliant at deconstructing mortgage-backed securities and showing where the flaws are.
Oh,
and
that sounds fantastic.
Yeah, one of the most disconcerting issues is that will mortgage-backed securities stand up in court? It may not.
Yeah. Well, I hate to cut you off, Tony, because everything you say is just so important, and I think I want to share, at least with our listeners here briefly, just the idea that, you know, we still get up and originate and help people get into homes, and it's an important conversation that Tony's group is going to be carrying on. We don't want to miss it. Again, it's AmeriCatalyst event, and I just want to give us a chance to talk and to make sure everybody has the opportunity to check out that event on the web. So, Tony, thank you so much for joining us on the program today.
Alice, thank you for jumping in. I don't know what issues we're having over here. It shows I'm dialed in, but the phone went dead. Anyway, Tony, thank you so much for being there and being a part of our show, and I hope everyone will show up for your event. I want to run out. Anything you want to add to that, Tony?
There's just one last thing I wanted to say, and this is more about
that feeling
of your life. But since I scared everybody last week, I just want to point out that you have two choices in life. You can live dying, or you can die living.
Yeah,
and
I
choose
that.
The latter. So when you're scared about what's happening, the world does go on.
Yes, it does. Thank you so much. And to go on and learn how to go on, be at that event. We'll email me if you need more information. Tony, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We're going to jump. It's good to have you with us. Now we're jumping over quickly to another Tony. Tony Garitano, who I had the privilege of being. Alice and I spoke at his Engage 2011 in Chicago. What an event. Tony Garitano, sorry for the technology issues I keep having. You're the Mr. Technology. Get over here. Solve these things for me. Let's cover a couple quick things real fast here for us. What is end-to-end? That's one of the questions that came up at the conference, and I want to have you explain to our listeners, what is end-to-end? What does that mean?
You know, I wish I knew, Dave. I think it depends on which vendor you talk to.
Yes.
End-to-end to me means from origination all the way through workflow, through secondary marketing, through closing, and through servicing. But there is no technology that truly is end-to-end, according to my definition. So if you talk to vendors, they'll say, well, end-to-end means everything you do at the point of sale, or everything that you do in your workflow process, or everything that you do. So it's a very complicated term, but I thought it was something that was being bandied around a lot at the NBA last week. So it seems to be making steam again in the hearts and minds of lenders and vendors out there.
Tony, I've got two more questions I'm begging to ask you, but we've run out of time. I apologize. It was great seeing you at the conference. And for those that did not attend the event, you've got to get into it next year. It was one of the best parts of the NBA conference. I thought you did a fabulous job on that event. Engage 2011. You'll hear more about it next year. Tony, thank you. I apologize for running out of time here today, but it's good to have you be on the program, and we're proud to be identified with you. Folks, have a great week. Look forward to dialing in with us next week. We'll be back with you then, and we encourage you to tell others about the program. Thank you so much. Have a great week, everybody.
This has been Lickin on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. Today's guests were Joe Farr from MBS Quoteline, Andy Schell of Mortgage Banking Solutions, and Alice Alvey, President CMB of Mortgage U. Come by next week and thank you for listening.